నారాయణ నమస్కృత్య నరోం చైవం నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతి వ్యాసం తతోజయం ముదీరయత్ నశ్చ ప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ భాగవత ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైశ్చికీ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. గుడ్ మార్నింగ్ టు ఎవ్రీవన్ జూమ్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్. సో sorry. This morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text 19. Chapter 7 is about the pastime involving the whirlwind demon, Trinivata. So text 19. So I'll read through it. Bhuma nidhaya tam gopi Vishmita bhara pidita mahapurusham adadyau jagatam asha karmasu. Word for word translation. Bhumau, on the ground. Nidhaya, placing. Tam, the child. Gopi, Mother Yashoda. Vishmita, being astonished. Bhara pidita, being aggrieved by the weight of the child. Mahapurusham, Lord Vishnu, Narayan. Adadyam, took shelter of. Jagatam, as if the weight of the whole world. Asha, engaged herself. Karmasu, in other household affairs. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished Mother Yashoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she calls for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things, and that Krishna rests within everything. Matstani sarva bhutani, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 4. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Krishna is everywhere in His impersonal form, and everything rests upon Him. Nonetheless, na chaham teshu abhasthita. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as His real mother by the arrangement of Yuga Maya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety, and called the brahmanas to counteract the situation. Om agina timirandasya gana gana shalakaya chakshu omilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadanti swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri guru vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Sitarini Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurati Se Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divyacha Vishchandaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna Bhoma Nidaya Tam Gopi Vishmita Bharapidita Mahapurusham Adadyao Jagatam Asa Karmasu. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished Mother Yashoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the Brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could understand that Krishna, she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Already a very important lesson for us to learn, especially grihasthas. So the grihastha ashram is the one ashram through which children can be brought into this world. Of course, there are two categories, grihastha and grihamedi. Grihasthas are devotees and grihamedis are non-devotees, those who don't take God seriously in their lives. Now, so grihastha responsibility, apart from giving charity, which is there, is that when they bring children to the world, they are responsible for the upkeep and also protection to the extent that they can, protection of the children. So, Mother Yashoda has already been a part of this whole, well, let's just say a part, but still, you know, the disturbances that came to the house, first from Putana, the witch that was called by Kamsa to go destroy the children in Vrindavan area so that hopefully one of the children that was supposed to destroy him, according to the prediction he heard earlier, would also be killed. Now, Kamsa was asking one demon after another to go to the area where Krishna is supposed to be, the eighth child that's supposed to be the cause of his death would be. So Kamsa was very disturbed that his life could end at any time because the eighth child had already been born. So Durga already told him that the child was born somewhere else, or the child was somewhere else. So now, because Narada Muni, they all got into the act, they all are part of Krishna's pastimes when he asks them to be part of it. So now there's a situation. The demon feels that he's in trouble the main demon, that is cancer. And he's trying to get rid of this trouble before it gets him. So, Krishna knows that the next pastime with the demon is about to unfold. And he is with Mother Yashoda, as a child would be with a mother. And so to start this situation and get Mother Yashoda out of the initial pastime that was about to unfold with Trinavata, he made himself heavy like the universe. Well, all the universe is resting him anyway. So Mother Yashoda realized something is about to happen. So by the Lord's own will, Mother Yashoda, even though Krishna was that heavy, Mother Yashoda was still able to put Krishna, the child Krishna, down. But then she knew that something was about to happen. She could foresee disturbances, as the text explains here. So to counteract any disturbances that she couldn't really put a hand on as to what was going to happen, she called for the other side of it, those who think well, those who do things for Krishna to protect, the brahmanas. So she called for the brahmanas, please come and chant mantras to counteract or to prevent, if possible, this situation that's about to happen. She didn't know yet what the situation was. But she didn't know, by the department of Yoga Maya, she didn't even know that that was Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may call him Krishna or Karna, as they like to call him, Karna. But that Karna himself was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she called, as a good mother would do, for the brahmanas to begin to counteract this situation with the heaviness and all. She knew something was getting ready to happen. But also, once she gave the affairs for the brahmanas to handle, then she continued her household affairs. But at the same time, she could not take her mind off what she was beginning to feel. And so she had no alternative, as the text says here, than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan. Because she couldn't understand that the incarnation of Krishna was Narayan, and the Krishna was the original source of everything. Well, actually, by the mercy of the Parampara, especially Srila Prabhupada, and then two Srila Prabhupada gurus, those of us of the second generation, we understand Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of the expansions and expansions of the expansions come from the original source, Krishna. But the Yashoda doesn't understand this because Yogamaya has arranged for her, Nanda Maharaj to feel as a father, for her, Mother Yashoda, to feel as a mother, so they were parents for the child. Yet what she did, the first lesson we have to learn, child protection is extremely important in all situations. Children are, by nature of their physical bodies, they are not able to protect themselves in many situations. They are not as strong. We're talking about regular children, not Krishna. Krishna is everything. But still, you know, Mother Yashoda was looking at him as her child. So child protection is critical to the survival and the bright future of the Krishna conscious society. So in that regard, all harmful or suspicious activities involving danger to the children must be reported to the appropriate authorities as soon as an older person sees it happening or suspects it's about to happen. Children have to be protected at all times. So if we take action as adults so that the danger doesn't even begin to occur to the child, that's the best situation. If, unfortunately, the danger begins to happen to the child and the adult sees it, and the child is calling for help or starting to cry, immediate action should be taken. Immediate action. Otherwise, if the child survives it, there may be a big scar left with them mentally, and they may grow up to think that there is no care or compassion in this society, vocational consciousness. And for that reason, later on, they may not take the society seriously and may even decide to leave at the earliest opportunity. This is all going to go against the society. This is one big society, international society, Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, through which we can, in fact, get an opportunity to go back to Godhead. So much mercy has already been put in this society as a way of living. A Vaishnava is supposed to chant 64 rounds. Now, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, getting the permission of Krishna, we can chant 16 rounds minimum and still get the opportunity to go back to Godhead. As long as, you know, we are avoiding 10 offenses and, of course, serving Bhakti Yoga based on the 9 processes. That's the basic thing. A devotee should avoid the 10 offenses. A devotee should avoid the avoid getting caught up in the 4 regulated principles. And a devotee should serve based on the 9 ways of serving: hearing, chanting, worshipping the Lord, offering obeisances, becoming the Lord's devotee, becoming the Lord's servant, becoming the Lord's friend, praying, submitting everything, Atma Nivedanam. That's some of it, almost all of them, but not all of them. So for that reason, we need to be careful with all children. It takes a village to raise a child. For us in the cities, it takes a community to raise a child. So everybody's child's protection, everybody's child's safety should be the concern of every adult. Now, the other part of this is Yogamaya. So Yogamaya had arranged for Krishna to think that he was the main protector. For Mother Yashoda to think that he was the main protector of Krishna, and that Krishna was her son. Now, Yogamaya works wonderfully to help in Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Whenever, this as an example, whenever Krishna decides there would be the rasa dance and plays his flute to let the gopis know that he is in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis would come. They would leave home, and this is sometimes the middle of a night, not sometimes, actually in the middle of a night, when everybody else in the house is sleeping. So, but the gopis are married. So how did the husbands not find out that their wives are gone? That was the department handled by Yogamaya, according to what Gaga Samhita explains. So every time that the gopis had left home to go join Krishna and Srimati Radharani for the rasa dance, the gopis would create a double. Another, gopi in every house. So Yogamaya would create a double. So then it wasn't possible for the husbands to realize that their wives were gone. So this was the arrangement that was being made all the while, for the gopis to be able to be in the forest, Vrindavan forest, with Radha and Krishna. The arrangement for Radha to come, arrangement for Krishna, that was a special one. Many gopis took part in that to get Radha to come, or Krishna to come. Of course, there is no double for Krishna. Krishna can expand if he wants to. He himself can expand if he wants to. But he didn't need to. So the wonderful activities took place in the Vrindavan forest by help from Yogamaya. And the same Yogamaya was also making Mother Yashoda think that Krishna was his son rather than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself has an all-pervading nature. As Srila Prabhupada in the purport was explaining with Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta mutina matstani sarva bhutani. That was the part that Srila Prabhupada quoted. Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu abhastita. The whole translation is, by me, meaning Krishna, In my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So that whole, you know, philosophy is explained by Srila Prabhupada about being all beings being in Krishna, but Krishna says he's not in them. In other ways, too, he is, because the Paramatma is in fact in every soul. I mean, everybody along with the soul. But of course, the context of what he's saying, all beings are in Krishna. So, in the purport for 9.4 by Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada says, is not perceivable through the gross material senses. The gross material senses are very limited. And that's why, by Krishna's mercy, he agrees to appear in the deity form. So, for our eyes, we see Krishna, but we also see the form that is possible for our eyes to not only perceive, but also to serve. So we are fortunate that Krishna's mercy, through Krishna's mercy, we are now able to serve Krishna through the deity. And different situations, different pastimes in the deity forms, Gauranitai, Krishna as a devotee, and Balaram as a devotee, all serving Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda, Jaganabaldev Subhadra, Lord Nilamadava, now as Jaganabaldev Subhadra, and Radha Krishna. So many situations that Krishna has come to the different temples, which are the embassies around this particular planet, the temples. Now we can serve. So we can use our material senses to serve. So we really cannot see Krishna from a spiritual standpoint. We can't. Not the way our bodies are and the kind of senses, the physical senses that we're using. So only to the person who is engaged in pure devotional service under the proper guidance of Guru, is Krishna revealed. So we have to develop the qualities that make us able to serve purely. Purely, that is, purely from our hearts. Our senses are not, our senses are limited. They are not really, really, really at the level of the soul's senses, pure senses or pure activity. Therefore, we would make mistakes. That's just part of human nature. But our hearts should be always willing to serve to the best of our ability, even if the actual activity sometimes has a few mistakes here and there, as long as they are unintentional. The intention should always be to serve purely. Now, we have to be at a certain frame of mind to be able to do that. How? Well, there are qualities of a devotee that Krishna lists in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 1, 2, 3. And 1, 2, and 3. We went through some of them. And with your permission and guidance from my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada and Parampara, I want to spend the rest of this time here, the few minutes remaining, to talk about the rest that we didn't talk about the last time. I know where we stopped. So, these are qualities of the devotee. There are 26 in all, and Krishna describes all of them. So, we continue with nonviolence. So, nonviolence can be put in two categories: transcendental and also material. So, transcendental nonviolence is actually helping one to grow in Krishna consciousness by whatever methods that's available. So, when one is being violent from a spiritual standpoint, then one is sabotaging another person's opportunity to grow in Krishna consciousness or another person's service. That's violence from a transcendental standpoint. Material violence is when somebody physically or mentally harms another person. So then material nonviolence would be not physically or mentally harming someone. So in short, those are the two ways to look at it. Violence or nonviolence from a transcendental or material standpoint. The next is truthfulness. Truthfulness is to be straightforward. No lying, no pretense, no duplicity. Duplicity is saying one thing here and another thing in another different place about the same situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very much discourages that. He wrote purports to Raghunath Das Goswami's book called Manasiksha, Instructions to the Mind. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami himself is very blissed out of the pastimes of Radha Krishna. So the whole book really is to the Goswami describing how very much he's blissed out thinking about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So pretty much one text after another, that's all that Raghunath Das Goswami was talking about. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks very much, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks very much about the mind and being careful not to be duplicitous, two-faced, saying one thing here, saying another thing here, sometimes telling the truth, sometimes not telling the truth, sometimes telling those two things to just convince other people to think the way you want them to think, even though that's not the right way. So we have to be very careful, because even Mother Bhumi talks about that too. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Bhumi brings the same point up, says, I can help so many people through the mercy, but those who are duplicitous, those who don't tell the truth, there's nothing I can do for them. Mother Bhumi makes that point. And Mother Bhumi has very high clearance. She is the eternal consort of Lord Varaha. There's a pastime of Lord Varaha taking Mother Bhumi from the bottom of the Garbhulok ocean into safety because of what Hiranyaksha did. But in that pastime, Lord Varaha also impregnated Mother Bhumi. So the Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains the vision of Gopakumara in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that at the universe, in the covering of the universe, the earth part, the covering, the first part, that Lord Varaha is being constantly worshipped by Mother Bhumi. So she is the eternal consort. Gaga Samhita also confirms this. She is the eternal consort of Lord Varaha. That's whose body we are on. Mother Bhumi's body. So she has so much that she can do out of her mercy for us. But she says, don't be a liar, because if you are, I can't help you. So truthfulness is important. The next is freedom from anger. Well, angry people act very sometimes violently, physically violently, sometimes mentally violently by the words that they choose. So freedom from anger means being mild and understanding at all times, and also being tolerant. So mild in the way we act, mild in the way we talk, and the fact that we are willing to understand the other person's point of view, and even when they're wrong, being tolerant in how we deal with the situation. These will help us. So among some of the things that will help us to be free from anger. Next is renunciation. Well, that's an interesting one, because we don't really own anything. We do not. We come to this world without anything as babies. And when we leave, we can't take anything with us. So the reality is, if we're here, we can't say we own anything. Some things may come into our possession. That's there. And by the physical, legal way of doing things, we may be able to sign and say, oh, this is our property. But we don't own anything. Everything belongs to Krishna. So since we don't own anything, we really can't renounce anything either. You can't renounce what you don't own. But we can, in fact, use what we have in our possession to worship and to serve Krishna, to serve Guru and the devotees. That's as best renunciation as we can have, or we can do, literally. So some things are in our possession. Yes, we have house, some of us have cars, so those kinds of things are there, houses or apartments. And if we use what's in there and what is in our possession to serve Krishna, to serve Guru, to serve the devotees, then we're not attached to them, because we're willing to just use it to serve. In that way, that's our renunciation. Now, Krishna is the source of renunciation. And it's explained that when it comes to Krishna's renunciation, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of all kings, he's the Supreme King. But when he acts menially to serve his devotee, then we say he's exhibiting his potency or opulence of renunciation. For example, it is understood that a chariot driver, that particular service of driving a chariot, is a menial service. But Krishna drove Arjuna's chariot for him in the battle of Kurukshetra. So then he was exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. In the past, when the big Rajasuya sacrifice was set up for Maharaj Yudhisthira, all kinds of people that came that were serving, and the Pandavas themselves, the brothers of Maharaj Yudhisthira, they all had particular services. Krishna also asked for service, and the menial one at that. So what Krishna was doing was, everybody that was coming to Indraprastha for the sacrifice, for the yajna, Krishna was at the door of the palace for Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. And he was washing the feet of everyone that came before they got in the palace. Krishna was the one washing the feet. It means all of the demons, even they got their feet washed by Krishna. Karna, Duryodhana, Shakuni, and the rest of them, they all got their feet washed by Krishna. So at that, in that particular pastime that Krishna was exhibiting, he was exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. But for us, we should just take what we have in our possession to serve Krishna and the devotees. Tranquility. Tranquility. Being silent and being grave, it allows the super soul, in that situation, to be able to better communicate with us. There's a few more. Aversion to fault finding. Aversion against fault finding. So we should not criticize. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, gave an analogy of criticism. Like, criticizing someone is like throwing garbage and throwing trash on them. Now, you wouldn't even think of doing something like that to anyone. So then we shouldn't criticize, because saying negative things about someone is throwing something that's bad on them, saying something about them. That's bad. Compassion for all living entities. We should not harm other living entities, especially the ones that are smaller in size than us, or less intelligent than us, unnecessarily. If they corner us, we may try to get rid of them, avoid them, or push them away, or whatever, not in a harmful way. But we should be careful to have compassion for all living entities. Care for them. We should not covet anyone's possessions or anyone's spouse. We should not wish that those person's possessions or their spouse were ours. We should be gentle. We should strive to be understanding. We should be patient. We should be modest. All of those describe a gentle person, a person that's mild, in behavior. But at the same time, not to put themselves in a situation like they are doormat for others to abuse. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that at all. Gentleness is to be mild in behavior, but also sensible at all times, so we don't get abused mentally. Steady determination. Stick to Krishna consciousness at all costs. Maya is going to test us and even try to get us to, Krishna consciousness is not important. No, we should not give in. Because giving in to Maya means losing the opportunity to go back to Godhead after quitting this present body. We should be having we should be vigorous in our activities, in serving. That doesn't mean that we should be so strict that others feel intimidated. No. Being vigorous in our activity is being enthusiastic, being pleasant, and being determined to give our best in devotional service. That's as far as vigor should go. To be forgiving. Forgiveness is being willing to put the past wrongdoing done by others to us behind. It also frees us from thinking badly about the persons that offended us. So we get our minds cleared of thinking badly about others. And so the matter gets put behind us. If the person apologizes, fine. If they don't apologize, still forgive. But we should be careful with that person so that we relate in such a way that what they did wrongly to us won't happen again. That's on us. We should forgive, but we should not forget that what happened. Sometimes people think you forgive, then you forget. Well, you can forget, but you should be also alert. Because when the person happens to do that thing again they've committed an apparat, so that's not good for them. And that's why we should put ourselves in a situation where we can relate to them, but in such a way that they don't get into that space of offending us again. Obviously, we're going to be upset. And the other person will also have committed apparat. Fortitude. Three more to go. Fortitude. That means mental strength. We should be willing to go the distance no matter what. It's especially good for bhakti, because Maya will definitely attempt to get us to stop serving. Even Maya sometimes takes over other people and they try to get us to stop serving. But we should find ways to always keep serving. That's fortitude. Cleanliness, physical cleanliness. We should keep oneself, ourselves and our surroundings cleansed and tidied up at all times. Mental cleanliness, that comes from chanting consistently every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's our mental cleanliness. We should be free from envy. Don't envy anyone, because that's our original sin. If we envy anyone, there's a very high chance we will go back to envying Krishna. And if we envy Krishna, we can't get out of this jail. Can't go back. Because those who are in the spiritual world serve the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. They do not envy anyone. And also, we should be humble. And Srila Prabhupada defines humility as freedom from wanting to be honored. Freedom from the passion of being honored, liking to be praised. That's not good. Some devotees may praise us, even openly, to assembly of other devotees, for what we may have done. But we shouldn't say, oh, yes, yes, yes. See, I am the best. Yes, they should have praised me a long time ago. Why did they wait so long to even talk about it now? And so on. No, we should not connect with the passion for honor. And Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, all these transcendental qualities, O son of Bharat, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. And that's the way Srila Prabhupada wants us to be. So, Mother Yashoda is already at that level. And so Yogamaya had used Mother Yashoda as the mother of Krishna to serve in the Vatsalya Ras. And she's serving wonderfully. And time has come. He feels that something is about to happen that's negative. He's already taking action by calling the brahmanas to come chant to avert any problems and keep Krishna safe. So that is our responsibility. And so while we're serving now at this point, we should always make sure that devotees are protected, especially the little Vaishnavis, the little devotees, Hare Krishna. So again, I'll go through the translation and then, as you like, you may ask questions. So translation, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text 19. Feeling a child to be heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some ghost or demon, the astonished Mother Yashoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative other than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna himself was the original source of everything. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if there are questions now, there's some time remaining for that, then the Bodhis may ask. Hare Krishna. Yeah, God is so powerful. Krishna's mercy. Offering, I understand. The last answer actually is what you brought up. Or through devotional service, we get to understand. The answer is yes. Through devotional service, we get to understand. But through devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, that's the important part. By the mercy of Guru and Guranga, because we would only be permitted as conditioned as we are. See, that's the point. If we're conditioned as we are, and being in jail at that, we are serving by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, who have not only permitted us, but they've also guided us. We're getting both. So how do you serve? Why do you know how to serve properly? Do you even know that? So they guide us and then give us the mercy. For example, when it comes to chanting, which is one of the services, the 9 services, hearing and chanting, we are to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That we understood. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the mood in which we serve, that's another thing. The mood in which we chant. If you chant attentively, we can chant. You can chant Namabas, which is absolutely horrible, compared to chanting steadily and chanting clearly. But even that, you get liberation because you're chanting. The mantra itself is potent, but still we have to have guidance though on how we do things. What we do is told to us by the mercy of Guru and senior devotees who have learned from Srila Prabhupada, but how we do it is also important. You have to watch those who do it well because we've learned it well from the founder Acharya himself. And then they've spread that knowledge. So that's there. So there's never a situation of just doing it. But how we do it, and how we do it is, well, we got to come from the heart first. I've been taught how to do this, and I want to do it to the best of my ability. That should be the aim at everybody's mind when they're doing service. The best of my ability. Srila Prabhupada said, everything we do, first class. It should be first class. So with that, and to do anything first class, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from the heart. And therefore, that way, then our actual service may have mistakes here and there because our senses are not perfect, but the intent is 100% good. That should be there all the time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Srila Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna, very good point. So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, he's everywhere, in his impersonal form, everything rests upon him, but then everything is in him, but he's not in them. He says that. And then you are saying that in this other text in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, yes, in the super soul, he is. Well, you know, the soul is part of Krishna. Everybody's soul is part of Krishna. So then we are part of Krishna. So we are in Krishna. So that point is clear. We are in Krishna. But he says, well, I am not in them. In the body, the soul and super soul are separate. They are in the heart of an individual, but they are separate. Okay? And if they are separate, they may be in the body, but the body is not us. You know that. So if the body is not us, then you can say the soul and the super soul are in the body, right? But it doesn't mean that the super soul is in the individual soul. Okay? The point we're making is in the body, they are like that. They are two different entities. Right? Now, it's It's difficult to explain, but I just want to get only to this point that, you know, we say in them, sometimes when you say in them, we are so much conditioned to thinking that the body is us. That's why the Prabhupada says we're not the body, we're not the body. So in the body, there are two distinct beings. There are two distinct beings. So Krishna can still claim that he's not in us, because at the soul level, he really isn't. In the spiritual level, he really isn't. Physical body, it may seem like both are in the physical body. Yeah, they can be in the physical body, but the physical body is not us. It's just a shell. It's just a shell we're in. So he can still claim. Now, after having said all of that, then Lord Chaitanya brings a point out. The reason it's difficult and sometimes confusing to see this point, sometimes I'm in them, I'm not in them, I'm in them, is that the whole tattva is Veda, Abheda. Simultaneously one and different. So you can argue on one side correctly, you can argue on the other side also correctly. Leave it to Krishna to be like that, you know? So we'll say a little bit about it. In other words, I'm not even saying that this question has been answered fully, because Krishna can be one way and the other way at the same time. Okay, so that's the problem. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. You've analyzed it well yourself. Yeah, analyzed it quite well. To the extent that we can, because Krishna is incredible. He's just incredible. I mean, he can be one way and the other way at the same time. That's why, Lord Chaitanya brought this point up. Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. That's the way he is. So you can wrap our little minds around it, especially Vaishnava mind around it. It's like, okay, in one situation, yes, he's talking about being separate. And then in his universal form, everything's contained. So then we are all in there at one time. So he can say, based on his universal form, we are in them. We are in him, based on his universal form, though. And then the individual, well, so yeah, he's super soul and you're individual soul. So at that point, he's separate. So. Yeah. I understand. And the reason is we are using the senses of the body to live. You see, we are using the senses of the body. All these senses are connected to our body. The functioning senses and the actions themselves. You know, the nose, it's a physical thing, and then it smells. That's, the way in which the nose acts. That's not the nose of the soul smelling. This is in the physical body. So that's why you can't even tell non-devotees that you're not the body. It's very difficult for them to perceive. They say, but everything I'm doing, I'm using the body. This is me. This is me. This is me. I see a dog. He's barking. He's using a physical body to bark, using a physical body to run, all of those things. So because we are in the material world, and in the material world, we are using the attributes of the physical body to live our lives, then it becomes difficult for us to see ourselves as souls. But we really are souls, because we don't live in this place originally. We are from the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, the physical body is simply not there. That's why Sri Prabhupada is saying, we've forgotten the way we really are. And we've come to this deal, we've lived here for lifetime after lifetime, and we've accepted that this is the way we are. And so we are, when in fact it's the physical body that we're using. And the soul is inside, just giving consciousness, that's all. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So it's a very important point Srila Prabhupada has made, that we're not the body. Any other questions? Very good point to bring up. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves what the situation is. Any other questions? Okay. So. Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Jai. Good to see you. Jai. So I guess we can end. Okay. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Jai. So, Vanchakalpa, is it? Krishna's mercy. Yeah, oh boy. Krishna's mercy. This is all Srila Prabhupada's and the Krishna stuff that I'm just repeating, but. The points that brought up, it's actually Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, texts 1, 2, and 3 are together. 1, 2, and 3 for chapter 16. Those are the 26 qualities of a devotee. Krishna lists them up. And basically all we did is I prayed to my Guru Maharaj, and at every point we said something about it, that's all. But they are there. And of course, there's a long proper by Srila Prabhupada too, so you can hear even more about these qualities. Yeah. So it's very nice to read. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. So, all right. So, Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sunibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevi Vaishnava. Jai, Jai, Sri Papa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai. Okay. Hare Krishna, okay.